Your Steve Jones Show podcast audio is loading. Steve Jones Show podcast sponsored by Kratzer Insurance Agency, Mount Pleasant Mills in Northumberland, and online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I know it's going to rain tonight. Actually, tomorrow it's going to rain a lot. But before the rain hits and we have, obviously, leaves falling all over the place because of some rain and wind, hasn't this been the most beautiful fall? Vibrant, beautiful colors out there everywhere you turn. Makes a Friday night of a high school football game or a Saturday of a college football game even more enjoyable. By the way, Shikellamy is at Loyal Sock this week, if I have my schedule correct.
You do.
They're at Loyal Sock, 7 o'clock, 6:30 the airtime here on WKOK with Kevin and the coach, Dick Hort. As Shikellamy looks to get back on track, Penn State has a bye week. You have Florida State, Notre Dame. We'll talk about that in a moment. Today's show being brought to you by our good friends at Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance. If service and price mean something to you, guess what? It means everything to them. It's Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. And we are in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Kevin is out driving another vehicle, courtesy of this show again.
Yeah, we'll talk about that a little bit later on, but featuring the 2014 Kia Sportage SX all-wheel drive this week.
Ooh, all-wheel drive. Perfect for the Valley in December, January, and February.
That's true.
Well, no, I'm not kidding. I'm not kidding about that. Let's get to a few things here today. Jeff Hartman, by the way, from BehindTheSteelCurtain.com is going to join us later to break down the magnificence of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That shouldn't take long. Brandon Gowton from Bleeding Green Nation in the next half hour, actually talking about a team who's winning games in the state of Pennsylvania in the NFL.
They actually look good all the way around. I mean, because we know the Eagles offensively have struggled a bit in a couple of games this year. But they looked really, really good in every phase of the game against the Giants on Sunday night. So we'll hear from Brandon, then Jeff Hartman in the third half hour of the show. The Jameis Winston case. Yes, there's nothing like the fun-filled world of college football, where the game of the week features one team that has suspended five players because of potential academic impropriety and the other team that has just had a major article written about it in the New York Times, and it wasn't about their prowess on the field. That's the game of the week coming up, Florida State and Notre Dame. Jameis Winston. Let's get into this for a moment. Then we'll talk Eagles. Then we'll talk Penn State along the way in all of this. And we'll talk about the Steelers as well. There's plenty going on. And we'll update you on the baseball scoreboard, by the way. Yadier Molina, by the way, not playing today for the Cardinals. Oblique strain. So he's out. So Tony Cruz is going to catch for the Cardinals today. It's Tim Hudson against John Lackey. Very good pitching matchup on paper. And we'll keep you up to date. It's series tied at 1. Orioles play against the Royals tonight at Kauffman at the K, the big K. Jameis Winston. Okay, there are two red flags that come up about this, but we also need to be fair about it, too. The two red flags that come up about this are, number one, from an autograph point of view, I believe they're claiming there are between 500 and 900 items. Does that sound correct, Kevin?
Yeah, 900 was the last number I heard, but I also, again, like you did, said heard 500 as well. And the reason it kind of threw a flag because the amount of numbers and how it was listed.
Well, it's sequential.
Right.
And that was one of the things with the Todd Gurley situation, where Gurley's items were sequential on the board. In other words, put on the surface appears to have been put up there all at once. Okay. Now, with Gurley, there's been an accusation of money, and there have also been rumors as to whether they're true or not, that Gurley wanted anywhere from $1.8 to $25. That was the dollar figure mentioned. Okay, there's been no dollar figure mentioned with Jameis Winston. But the two red flags are Winston, his items were listed sequentially, and there are, as Kevin said, a long series of them. And number two, him. Whether Florida State wants to admit it or not, take out the major accusation against him, which the district attorney said last year they would not prosecute. Take that off the boards. You still have the Burger King incident, the $4,000 in damage where there was the BB gun incident. There's the crab leg incident. There's the jump on the table and crude incident. So you're asking yourself, in the world of maturity, where is he? Could he do it? Yeah. It seems like a perfect candidate. Now let's look at the fairness part of it. One of the more important things that Jimbo Fisher has to do in this, and he's obviously already done it, is he's talked to him about it. You have to get his side of the story if you're going to mete out discipline. And if you believe them, don't mete out any discipline. And Jimbo Fisher evidently believes him. Wholeheartedly believes him. That's why you don't see him being suspended for the Notre Dame game. Because he sat down, he talked with him. And that's in anything you do. If you do not make the effort, if they wish not to discuss it, or they feel there's a legal situation, they want an attorney present, but if you don't at least make the offer to the individuals accused, then your investigation or report is junk. You at least have to have some perspective so you can then sit down and say, okay, what is believable here and what is not? Well, Jimbo Fisher now in this situation has talked with him. He believes him. Okay. People are asked to sign things left and right, and I'll give you an example. Now, this is not a college student, obviously, but my broadcast partner, Jack Hamm. Over the 15 years that we have worked together, the number of people that have come up and asked him to sign something is off the charts. I would say that you're talking now 2,000 to 3,000 in 15 years. Because every commercial break that we have, he is asked by somebody to sign something. The running joke we have is that last year, you know, when the blue band goes by and goes in, a lot of people leave the pregame. So we're in the final segment anyway. That's the timing. We're usually in the final segment anyway. Some people stay around, you know, but the what it was a pretty good sized crowd thins out. And Jack one time last year looked over the railing during a commercial break and he goes, huh, nobody's over there. I looked at him and I said, geez, Jack, after 14 and a half years, I said, don't you think that you've been able to sign everything for everybody? But you're asked to sign stuff left and right. How many Jack Hamm items are on eBay? But there are all sorts of purposes and reasons for autographs. You want to get an autograph for yourself. You want to get an autograph and give it to your grandfather as a gift. Give it to your father as a gift. Give it to your son as a gift. Or an uncle always wanted as a big fan of said individual. You want to put it on eBay. Whatever it happens to be. There are a lot of reasons. There's a sick. There's a young person who's sick over at Geisinger. And they've always wanted an autograph of. And would brighten their day. You know, there's reasons left and right for people wanting autographs. Kevin, you have been an autograph seeker your whole life.
Absolutely. And
why?
Well, the reason is I want something of a player that I liked, followed, respected, whatever, and have it as part of a collection. I don't recall ever selling anything.
Even when they can't cover anybody anymore?
Even when they can't cover, especially if they can't cover anybody anymore. I don't remember ever selling any of the memorabilia that I have. I mean, I suppose I could. I just never chose to.
Right. And some people choose to. If you go on eBay for Jack Ham items, they're all over the place. I've seen Jack, you know, they take out the sleeves for cards. He signs cards. I see them take out the picture from a sleeve that protects it to sign a picture. I've seen him sign jerseys, sign hats, sign, you know, programs, whatever. I've seen him sign everything across the board. And some people keep them, and some people end up selling them. It's your choice. And there's nothing illegal about anything. There's nothing illegal. In fact, if Jameis Winston were to have been paid by somebody, it would be an NCAA violation, but it is not against the law. There is no law in the state of Florida that says it's illegal. Now, Georgia has a law that if it were to cost the university money, you can be prosecuted. And I heard somebody today say, if they didn't go to the SEC championship game or a bowl game or whatever because of the, got to know the rules, babe. Okay. They get 1/14th of the SEC championship game, whether they're there or not, and they get 1/14th of the bowl money, whether they go or not. Okay. So that was a ridiculous statement. But there is that law. Now, could it cost them money? I don't know, fined or whatever. Who knows? But the other 49 states, that law doesn't exist, including Florida. So it's not illegal to say, here's a couple $1,000, sign 40 items for me. That's not illegal, but it's an NCAA violation. So it's a rules violation. The question is whether he accepted any payment for this. And there's been no accusation made, or no one has come forward and said, yeah, I paid Jameis some cash. See, when the girly thing, there's been, I think, somebody that's come forward and I guess videotaped and signing this stuff, basically saying, hey, yeah. I mean, that's part of the issue with girly. With Winston, you haven't heard that yet. And again, I'm trying to be fair here in the analysis to him. Where there's smoke, you want to check it out and make sure there's not fire. That's why they're looking into it. The fact that there's sequential, that smoke, because it's him and he has a bad history. Yeah, he has a bad history. That's also smoke. Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, Northumberland. Brandon Gowton next.
Okay. It's time to get serious. Serious about savings at Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is serious about saving you money on Hyundais. Save over $4,500 off select new in-stock 2014 Elantra Limiteds with 38 mpg. And of course, every new Hyundai comes with America's best warranty. 10 years, 100,000 miles.
You can't get that on a Toyota, Honda, or Nissan.
Save over $6,000 off select in-stock 2014 Sonata Limiteds with 32 mpg. Choose from a great
great selection of both 2014 and 2015 Hyundais in stock and drastically reduced. Looking for safety, performance, fuel economy, reliability, and value, Sunbury Motors Hyundai has you covered.
And we've been selling more cars by satisfying more customers since 1915.
Don't get caught up in gimmicks or bogus guarantees. Get to your value headquarters and the Susquehanna Valley's home for Hyundais. Seriously, Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
And at sunburymotors.com.
When it comes to insurance, let's face it, the options and the sources keep changing. It gets confusing. Do you really know what you're getting? Better yet, do you know what you're not getting? Save time and save your mind with a simple call to the Kratzer Insurance Agency of Mount Pleasant Mills or Northumberland. For 51 years, the Kratzer Insurance Agency has been keeping the Susquehanna Valley insured and protected from whatever comes our way. If your policy is up for renewal, or you suffer the disappointment of cut-rate insurance deals on the internet or over the phone, then listen. Don't sacrifice personal service. The Kratzer Insurance Agent, your independent agent, has your best interest in mind. Of course they have competitive prices.
Hi, this is Kim Ebright. Call us, stop in, or visit us online at KratzerInsurance.com.
Standing together against whatever. Family, friendship, security. The Kratzer Insurance Agency.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Kratzer Insurance, Mount Pleasant Mills, and Northumberland. Auto, home, life, business insurance. If service and price means something to you, it means everything to them. It's Kratzer Insurance. More than five decades of service to the great people of the Valley, Mount Pleasant Mills and Northumberland. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 to 15 in Hummel's Wharf. I'm talking to Brandon Gouten in just a few moments, then Jeff Hartman next half hour. Eagles and Steelers today. One team winning, and the other one has its fans saying, how about the Niners? And Kevin, you'll have to tell me when Brandon's there, because whatever connection.
Yeah, he should be in about 3 minutes.
Okay, that's fine. No, because I can't log in to Team Viewer. Because it's, quote, not running on a partner computer, that would be you. Suddenly out of nowhere, a confused look. All right, so the autograph thing I don't get, but I think I know why. I think part of it is that I have worked around a lot of people that would be perceived as being famous. I've either worked with them or worked around them. And they're people. Sorry.
I'm still waiting for my Steve Jones autograph to be worth something. Brandon is on line one for you, Steven.
I sign them. It doesn't matter. You know.
All you really do matter. Is sign them. That's right. What happens after that, you have no control
after
over.
After that, no control over it. Let's bring in Brandon Gouten, whose autograph's worth a ton. Brandon, welcome. It's great to have you with us.
Hey, I'm glad to be here.
Well, in terms of an all-around performance, was that the best all-around performance we've seen the Eagles deliver so far in this season?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, you know, last week they beat the Rams. They moved to 4-1, and you know, they almost lose because the Rams almost staged a comeback, but the Eagles hold them off, and everyone's thinking, man, you know, the Eagles are 4-1 right now, but, you know, could they easily be worse? And, you know, everyone kind of just had this kind of down feeling despite winning that game, and really just the complete opposite this week. You know, it's a huge Sunday night football game against a Giants team that came into the game scoring an average of 35 points per game, and the Eagles just come out and they shut them out at home. Huge win, and I think everyone's feeling great about the team heading into their bye week.
All right, now let's get to the defensive front. What did you see from that defensive front that had Eli Manning on his heels all night?
Well, the Giants just simply couldn't block him. I mean, you had Justin Pugh at right tackle, and he was just, you know, he just couldn't block anything. The Eagles totally had their way with the Giants' offensive line, just manhandled them. Connor Barwin finished with three sacks. They couldn't block him. And it's funny because he's not even the most highly respected pass rusher. You know, he's a versatile guy. He can do a number of things. But he was just deadly with the spin move that he uses, getting past people. Vinny Curry, backup defensive end, great pass rusher. Couldn't handle him. You know, even nose tackle Benny Logan was making plays. Trent Cole had a sack. I mean, it was really just a complete effort. Fletcher Cox, again, you know, talented young player. They really just couldn't handle him up front. It was simple as, you know, they were winning one-on-ones, and the Giants just couldn't fight him off at all. And not even just in pass protection, but they couldn't even run block. I mean, just the Eagles' defensive front totally had their way with that Giants offensive line.
Given the importance of getting LeSean McCoy on track in this game.
Yeah, I mean, that was huge. And you saw it early, too. As soon as he had a couple of his first carries, you just saw that, all right, you know, this guy is back. He showed some progress last week against the Rams. Didn't have a great game by any means, but he got to 83 yards or so. And, you know, you thought maybe he's turning the corner. And this game really confirmed it, you know. And it really helped, obviously, that he had better blocking in this game. I think David Moak, starting at center, who wasn't performing so well in recent weeks in place of full-time starter Jason Kelce, you know, I think Moak looked pretty good opening room for McCoy. And McCoy not only, you know, hit the hole hard, but he made people miss too, which is really important and something that he hasn't been doing as much this season. And it's funny because, you know, for as much as LeSean McCoy has struggled this season, he's now fourth total in rushing yards, so it looks like he's back on track.
All right, where's Nick Foles right now to you?
That's a good question. You know, he comes out, he looks sharp for most of the game, or at least early on, and plays a pretty good game. But then he just has these two interceptions that are really, they didn't end up being costly in the end, but, you know, the first one he throws, he's under pressure. Apparently he was just trying to throw it out of bounds. If that's the case, it was short. Just really a terrible play. He threw to Darren Sproles, and he just wasn't open at all. And Eagles were in the red zone there, so that could have been at least a field goal. Maybe they get a touchdown there. I think it was 20-0 or so at the time. And then start the second half, Foles throws another bad pick. He had plenty of time. He could have gotten rid of the ball, thrown it out of bounds. He had a couple of wide receivers open, and I think he saw him too late. You know, he threw the ball, and the Giants player was behind the wide receiver, just broke on the ball, made the play. And the Eagles ended up holding the Giants to a fourth turnover on downs there on the 3 yard line in the end zone, so they didn't allow them to score a point. So that could have been, you know, 7-20 at that point if they get a touchdown there. So, you know, your level of concern with Nick Foles has to be, you know, somewhat high. I mean, you see this team winning, and that's great, but you wonder, you know, they get to the playoffs or, you know, they start to face really good teams. You know, you can't just get by with substandard quarterback play.
How do you feel about the secondary and how the Eagles' secondary has performed so far, Brandon?
You know, I think they've gotten a lot of criticism, and some of it's been well-deserved heading into this game. I think Malcolm Jenkins has been a stud for most of the season. But outside of him, you have Kerry Williams and Bradley Fletcher and Nate Allen, who are up and down. You know, really not necessarily, they're not good players necessarily by any means. But, you know, you have to give them credit for their performance against the Giants, because not only were the Eagles' defensive linemen in front seven handling the Giants' offensive line, but a lot of the times you would see coverage sacks where Giants receivers just weren't getting open, and that gave time for the Eagles' pass rush to get there. So I think you have to give them a lot of credit for the performance this past week, and I think, you know, it's a winning strategy when not only, you know, is your pass rush getting there and getting the sacks, but the coverage is solid, and, you know, then the sacks are being created.
Timing of the bye week good?
I would say so. You know, they come into a point here where they're 5-1. They're banged up at certain spots, obviously. Darren Sproles suffered an MCL sprain. He's expected to be out 1 or 2 weeks, so they might not get him back right after the bye when they go to Arizona, but maybe they get him the week after that. Now, at the very least, they don't have to miss a game with him this week because they'll be off. They should also be getting starting inside linebacker Michael Kendricks, who's one of their best pass rushers and just an all-around playmaker on the defense. He should be returning after the bye. And then, you know, you get Jason Kelce and Evan Mathis returning around week 10. And, you know, so the outlook is pretty good for this team if everyone can get healthy and stay healthy.
All right, yeah, and that's one of the parts. Is it a waiting game up front to get to week 10 in terms of getting guys back?
Yeah, I mean, at this point you have Jason Peters and Todd Harriman's at right tackle, Lane Johnson at right tackle, and like I said, Peters is at left. Those guys are all in place. And then at left guard, you have Tobin, and he could be playing better right now, but you can get by with him. And Mulk had a really good game after having some really bad games against the Giants. So you know, you're really hoping just to get by with him around to that week 10 date.
How well has Peters played?
Peters is he's a Hall of Famer. You know, I think he's really important to this team. He just goes out there every week. He battled. He really just shut down Jason Pierre-Paul. You know, he couldn't do anything against Peters. He's just so good. Peters really shut down Robert Quinn, too, you know, who was really good for the Rams last year. He's just so consistent, and he's so talented. And the other thing with him is he's really tough. You know, that's a guy who's easily banged up throughout the year, every season. And he really he doesn't complain. He just plays through injury, and he plays at a very high level. He's not only responsible for holding up in pass pro, but, you know, he's also a huge asset in the run game. You know, I think he's somewhat of an undervalued player, which seems kind of funny because I think everyone recognizes how good he is. But, you know, it's just offensive linemen don't always get the love they deserve. And I think, like I said before, he's going to be a Hall of Famer one day.
Yeah, they don't get the love they deserve. There's no question about that. Give us an update on what you know about Darren Sproles, because that was certainly the one thing as you watch that game, saying this is going to be a great night as long as nobody gets hurt.
Yeah, that was really a damper on things. The good news is it just does not seem like it's going to be a long-term thing. We're looking at 2 to 3 weeks here, and if I think Chip Kelly even said that it's not 100% that he will miss the Arizona game, which is on the 26th after they come off the bye. But, you know, any time you miss with him is pretty significant because he's easily been the team's offensive MVP, and he's a huge asset on special teams returning punts. You know, he's really just a dangerous playmaker that the Eagles really need, especially for an offense that has been struggling. The flip side of that is LeSean McCoy looks, you know, like he's back again. So if you have him and he's running wild, then, you know, that Sproles loss hurts a little less. It's also been reported that the Eagles will get Chris Polk back. He's been dealing with a hamstring injury. He's also their primary kick returner. So you get Polk back, and if McCoy's running well, you know, you could probably weather the storm until you get Sproles back in a week or two.
Well, it's more than just obviously the Eagles now. They've disposed of the Giants and did so with relative ease, but the Cowboys went to Seattle. And not only were they impressive, they won the game. What are your thoughts on Dallas now and that Philadelphia-Dallas rivalry?
Yeah, you really can't take anything away from the Cowboys. That's I don't think the Seahawks have not lost a non-divisional game since 2011. You know, no one goes into Seattle and just beats them easily. And that's what the Cowboys kind of did because the Seahawks did not look very good and the Cowboys got the best of them. That Cowboys, they're really sticking to what works for them right now. You know, they have this strong offensive line up front, and they're paving the way for NFL leading rusher DeMarco Murray, who's on pace for, you know, ridiculous numbers in the rushing game. And, you know, that their offensive attack is opening things up in the passing game when the run game is so successful. And most importantly, it's keeping that bad Dallas defense off the field, you know. I think Dallas still ranks around, it's tied for second to last in yards per play. So when they're on the field, they're still allowing big plays and they're still allowing a lot of yards. It's just that the offense has been able to keep the defense off the field, so that's not as much of an issue. You know, Seattle, the number one run defense, and for Dallas to run all over them like that, you know, it's very impressive. And, Now, you wonder, moving forward, you know, how this will hold up, because I think the Cowboys are converting third down at just an abnormal rate. You almost, you know, you have to think that's going to go down at some point, come back to earth. You know, that's going to mean the defense is going to be out on the field more often, which could hurt them. But right now, they're playing great football, and I think that's great for the Eagles-Cowboys rivalry. You know, I think the Eagles even match up well against them, because if there's anything the Eagles can do, it's stop the run, and you saw that against the Giants. You know, they have a really strong front seven. Pass coverage isn't always there, so the secondary can struggle, but their run defense, you know, that's not something that you question as much. I think those are going to be some great games when you get to Thanksgiving in week 13. And then it's a quick turnaround for the second Cowboys game in Philadelphia, which is right. Week 15. You know, I'm really looking forward to that, the way that both teams are playing right now.
And with that in mind, how do you feel about the Eagles' run defense, because Murray has become the key and the domino that makes it all work?
Yeah, I mean, I think the Eagles' run defense, they have an advantage because they, you know, they two-gap, which really relies on the defenders playing the run. They're not just shooting the gaps and trying to sack the quarterback or tackle the running back in the backfield. You know, they're really trying to control the line of scrimmage, limit holes in the running game, allow their linebackers, you know, to make a play on the ball. And, you know, the Eagles have some decent run-stopping linebackers. You know, D'Amico Ryans isn't known for his coverage skills as much. He's more of a downhill guy. They get Kendricks back. He's a playmaker. He can stop the run downhill. So, you know, I think it's going to be an interesting matchup. I think the Eagles have the personnel to handle them, but it's not going to be easy because, like I said, you know, the Seattle had the number one rush defense, and, you know, they have a strong front seven too. But it just did not work for them. They were not able really to stop the run. So, you know, it's going to be tough, and the Cowboys are playing good football, but we'll see how it holds up.
Just wanted to look ahead a little bit. Brandon, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Enjoy the bye week.
Hey, no problem. Thanks again for having me.
Brandon Gauton, BleedingGreenNation.com. Jeff Hartman from BehindTheSteelCurtain.com coming up in the next half hour. Kevin's analysis of the interview, always a special moment on this show on News Radio 1070 WQ. Welcome back. Great to have you with us. I know one of Kevin's favorite topics is Ruben Amaro.
Did he get fired?
No.
And I don't want to talk about it.
But I was examining the Hunter Pence trade.
Every time I see that trade, I get depressed.
I mean, for those who don't realize, John Singleton, who's one of the hottest prospects in all of Bay, he received that big five-year deal earlier this year. He was a Philly.
Yes, he was.
And then, of course, the big mistake. Okay. It's one thing to trade Singleton. But they also, it was four players, and there was a player to be named later. Well, you know who the player to be named later was, right?
I believe I do, but tell me, because I don't know if I'm right.
A guy that when I watched him at Williamsport, I thought, this is one of the few prospects hitting-wise that's come through Williamsport, but I sat back and went, whoa, this dog can play. Domingo Santana. He was accidentally put on the list.
That's the one I thought, yeah. I just couldn't remember his
put
name.
Put on the list. I mean, repeating once again, accidentally put on the list.
I. How do you accidentally put somebody on the list? I've been trying to figure that out for a while.
Don't even begin to look at me. I don't know, man. Wow. All right. The Jameis Winston situation. You know, Jimbo Fisher's done the right thing this time. I mean, I can be critical. I mean, he's never disciplined this kid. I mean, at least outwardly, I've never seen him discipline him. He's left that to everybody else, baseball coach, whatever, pressure from the outside. Yeah, I don't want to hear, hey, suspended him for the Clemson game. No. He was not going to be suspended by his coach for the Clemson game. Do we have an understanding on that? That was not a happy football coach about that decision. So, this situation, though, is a bit different. The two red flags are, it's all sequential and there's a lot of it. And it's him, and it's not like he's been able to go through his college career as Sweet Mary Sunshine. Okay? I mean, every time you turn around, there's red flag here, red flag there. They ran out of red flags. They had to go out and buy more. So that's the two red flags. Now, the key with him is so far there's no one coming forward saying, yeah, I gave him some cash. Because, by the way, it is not illegal to pay him. It is not against the law. So Kevin goes up to him and says, hey, here's $5,000. Sign these 200 items. It is not illegal for Kevin to give him $5,000. And it's also not illegal for Jameis Winston to accept it. It is against the NCAA rules, but it is not illegal. And that's the difference. So, now we wait on that. I'll say this, the kid's never a dull moment.
There's definitely a story around him. Not always on the positive side, but there's a story.
Again, would I draft him? No. Because, again, I know he gets hurt, but if Robert Griffin's the face of my franchise, I'm happy. If Andrew Luck is, Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Teddy Bridgewater...